The reading this morning is the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verses 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears fruit, that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples.
Thank you, Ursula. So I gave you homework when I was away last week to read John 10, 11 to 18, and you're telling me you all did it? Yeah? All right. Of course you did. But just in case you didn't, or in case you weren't there when I set the homework, it concerns the claim made by Jesus that he is the Good Shepherd. Now, those hearing that would have been horrified and outraged by this statement, because the Good Shepherd is a figure in Hebrew Scripture. The book of Ezekiel, it talks about the Good Shepherd as someone who will gather the sheep from around the world and care for them, someone who will bind up the injured, strengthen the weak, and care for people. So when Jesus says he is the Good Shepherd, he's identifying as this character that the prophet Ezekiel talks about. And of course, we see in the life of Jesus how he gives his life for his flock and brings in sheep from all over the world. So it's one of these I am sayings, and the reason I wanted you to look at it last week was because this week we'll look at another of these I am sayings. And these are very important in the gospel because they tell us something about the nature and the identity of Jesus. I am is a way of linking to the divine, because we know that when Moses encountered God at the burning bush and he said to God, what do I call you? What's your name? And God says, I am. So for Jesus to say, I am, we're already thinking a connection with the divine. So last week, he claims, I am the Good Shepherd. So he's assuming that identity of the Good Shepherd in Ezekiel. And this week, it's the same outrageous claims that he makes, although this time he claims to be the true vine. So the vine is, again, a well-known image in Hebrew Scripture. Israel has long been identified as a vine. If you went to the temple in Jerusalem, back then, you would have seen a massive gold statue of a vine in the temple. And rich families would go and donate gold and have it cast as a bunch of grapes or as a leaf or as a branch, and it would be attached to the vine in the temple. And so you could say that you were then part of this great vine of Israel by donating enough gold to the temple. Psalm 80 makes reference to God taking a vine out of Egypt and planting it, driving out the nations, clearing the ground, planting this vine of Israel where it took root and filled the land. But the psalmist then goes on to ask God why on earth the walls around the vineyard were broken down and the vineyard was trampled down. Well, we have to look at another prophet for the answer to that, the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 5, Isaiah talks about a vineyard. He says, God has planted a vineyard and taken every possible step to make sure that that vineyard produces the good fruit. The Isaiah talks about the land being dug over, the stones being removed from the earth, used to build up a wall and a watchtower to keep the animals out and to watch out for anyone coming in to steal. The soil was given the best treatment and the best vine was planted. And basically, this person has done everything they possibly could to make sure that this vine flourishes and produces the good fruit. But Isaiah tells us this vineyard produced wild grapes. It was no use whatsoever. So what do you do if you've taken all these steps to make sure that this vine produces the best fruit possible and it doesn't do it? What do? You tear it down. The protections are removed. The wild animals could come in and trample down the vines. The vineyard wasn't weeded anymore. It was overrun with weeds. And God commands that no rain should fall on the vineyard, so the vines wither and die. And then just as you're thinking, well, that's a lovely story, Isaiah hits you with the absolute fact that I'm talking about God here, people, he says. I'm talking about Israel is the vine and God is the vineyard owner. And God has given you every opportunity and every chance to produce the good fruit, but you haven't done so. You've only produced bloodshed and the cries of people suffering, as Isaiah puts it. And so this is believed to be the theological explanation as to why they were overrun by Babylon and deported, because they hadn't produced the fruit that God called them to produce. At the time of the Babylonian invasion, we had a wealthy elite class in Israel who just got richer and richer at the expense of the poorer. And this gap, this wealth gap, kept on growing. Land that should have been used to grow food to feed the people of Israel was instead used to produce luxury crops that could be sold overseas to make more money for the landowner. God's call was clear: care for people, the widow, the orphan, the least in society, look after them, that's my call. But they didn't. The hungry got hungrier, the homeless became more homeless, there was no shelter for them, and the stranger was cast away. So Israel only produced sour fruit, despite being given every opportunity and every chance to produce the good fruit. So here we are. When Jesus stands up and says, I am the true vine, we then understand what he's saying. He's saying, not only am I divine, but I am Israel. I am Israel as it's meant to be. He's saying, this is what God intends Israel to look like, what I'm doing, how I'm behaving. This is what you were called to do. And the behaviors and the practices that Jesus models are the behaviors and the practices that God called Israel to produce. The fruit that Jesus produces is the good fruit that God longed to see Israel produce. That's what he's saying with this absolutely outrageous claim that he is the embodiment of Israel, the true Israel. When he cares for the least, when he welcomes the stranger, when he feeds the hungry, when he cares for the sick, we see the good fruit that God intended Israel to produce, but failed to do so. And it gets worse because Jesus says, and I will submit to God in order that I am pruned. Now, I am the least green-fingered person in this congregation. I have an ability to kill any plant whatsoever except weeds. All right? But I know this about vines because I used to live amongst the vines. And I know this. You have to prune them. Because if the vine overhead gets too big or too overgrown, the grapes and the leaves underneath don't get sunshine and they don't ripen. So you have to go along and look at the vines and see what isn't producing fruit, what's causing a problem, and you have to remove it so that the healthy vine maintains that. I think that's right. Who's the gardeners here? Is that right? Is that what you do? Yeah? I don't know. I just drink the product. I don't know. So you have to carefully prune the vine to make sure the things that hinder and the things that aren't producing the good fruit are gone, thus giving this vine the best chance to produce the good fruit. And Jesus says that. I'll submit to God's discipline. It's important you submit to God's discipline so that you too can be pruned in your life and you can go on to produce the good fruit. Kindness, mercy, love, compassion, forgiveness, grace, that sort of thing. And by doing this, you will be God's people, Israel. You will be producing the good fruit. You will also be the vine that God planted. And this is what Jesus does. He grows this vine by remaking the people of God, Israel, around himself, and nourishing them and feeding them and modeling this way to behave so that they can draw from him and they too can produce the good fruit in their lives. Like the good shepherd, he gathered people in and he cared for them. Like the true vine, people are grafted into him and they produce this good fruit because they're connected to him. As a branch needs to be connected to the root in order to receive nutrients, so must we remain rooted in Jesus. And that's, I think, the point Jesus is making. It's only whilst we're connected to Jesus that we actually do this, that we produce this good fruit. If we separate ourselves from Jesus, then we achieve nothing, as John would tell us. We wither and die. So we can't be church without Jesus at our root. We can't be church unless we are connected to Jesus and are drawing directly from his love and his grace and his compassion and using that in ourselves to produce this good fruit in the world. It's Jesus that gives this church life. And those who abide in Jesus, those who live in Jesus, those who are grafted into Jesus are the ones that can produce this good fruit. And as long as they're connected, then they will be able to discern this need to be generous, loving, compassionate, gracious, forgiving. We will act as Jesus acts. We will be Israel, the people of God that God called into existence. So it's quite simple. The test is this. Are we producing fruit? That's it. It's as simple as that. Are we drawing from the root this love, this compassion, this care of Jesus? And are we producing that in how we live? For John, that's the only test. Do you bear fruit? Because that's what makes you the people of God. Now, we can worry now that we're getting very, very close to faith by works. We can think, hang on a sec, is this what you're driving at, that we have to somehow have to do this in order to gain entry to heaven? No, I think that's not what John's getting at all. And I've said this time and time again. If our faith is genuine, it impacts how we live. If we truly believe Jesus is the right way to live, then that changes how we live and we produce this good fruit. A branch connected to the root cannot do anything but produce fruit. That becomes its nature. So it is with us. If we are connected to Jesus and if we are allowing his love, his grace, his compassion to flow through us, then we too are producing this good fruit. Disciples, therefore, have to be firmly rooted in Jesus and the life that Jesus gives. And how do we do that? Well, we've got this wonderful gift of the Spirit that connects us to Jesus and connects Jesus to us. The bearing of the fruit is therefore not the test, but the evidence of faith. The fact that you see someone producing fruit, you then understand they have this faith. They are connected to Jesus because how they are living comes out. The fruit comes out in their life. They can't do anything else. So the lesson for us is this. We need to be connected to Jesus. We need to live these lives of authentic faith by drawing on the love that he gives and bearing it out to the world. We need to understand this. It's God that does the pruning, not us. It's not our job to look at someone else or some other church and say, oh, you're not producing the good fruit. Time for you to be pruned. That's not us. We should just be concerned about how we are doing in our faith walk with Jesus and how much fruit we are producing as a result of the faith that we have. The word John uses is very similar to cleansed. And what he's saying is God cleanses to ensure that we produce this fruit. God will cleanse us, and it's not about casting us into the fiery outside. It's about disciplining us, taking away those bad parts in our life that prevent us producing the good fruit and allowing us to then flourish and produce it. We tend to think of discipline here as a bad thing. Think of it as correction. Submit to that, allow the Spirit to work in you, and allow this love to flow through you and produce the good fruit. But more than just ourselves is also a metaphor for the church, because the church is this collection of branches that grows out of this central vine, Jesus. So it puts Jesus squarely at the heart of both the life of the disciple and the life of the disciples gathered together, the church. And each branch grows from Jesus, and each branch is no more important or significant than any other branch. Paul writes of the church being comprised of all different people with all different gifts, all coming together to make a better whole, and that's so important. John sees it slightly differently. John sees every branch is indistinguishable from every other branch unless it's producing fruit. So the church, therefore, is interrelational too. And it's not for one church to look at another church and say, you guys suck. You guys just don't do Christianity like we do Christianity. That's not our call. The question is, what fruit is that church producing? That's it. It is that simple. We're all in this together, individually and collectively as church. And we have this one aim, to draw life from Jesus and to share that life with those we come into contact with. We are representatives of this new reformed Israel. And we need to stop thinking of Israel as being a geographical location like the Promised Land. It's now Jesus, the new Israel. He's claiming this for himself, and he's remade Israel around himself. And then we join into that. We're called to live with one aim, according to John, to produce this fruit and be known by the fruit that we bear. Whether or not the branches produce fruit isn't our call, but the vine tender, God. And we don't have to worry about the branch next to us, we just have to worry about our branch. How are we doing with this? That's the question this morning. Are we intentionally rooting our lives in Jesus and allowing his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion to flow through us and inform our living? That is what John, I believe, is telling us this morning. The only measure we apply is, do we love? Do we love as Jesus loves? That's it. That's what makes us Christian. It's not about having a creed. It's not about having a statement. It's not about having a theological position on various aspects of life. It's not about assenting to a doctrinal statement. It's not about pointing to a random scripture in the Bible and saying that's what it says in the Bible. Now, that's not to say these things aren't unimportant. It's good to know what you believe. It's good to know that you can articulate that. But it's not just about that, nor is it just living a Christ life robotically because that's what you think you have to do. You know, Jesus didn't behave like a robot. He behaved like that because he couldn't help himself, because he loved. That's what we're called to do. For being Christian, according to John, that's the only thing you need to worry about, rooting your life firmly, centrally in Christ Jesus and allowing his love and his grace to flow through you and to be seen in how you live. That's John's point. Let God prune you. Let God cleanse you. Submit to that discipline and let the love flow. As a result of that, you will only produce good fruit because you can't do anything else. It's now who you are. John goes on. It goes back, actually, 1335. By this you will be known as my disciples, because you love. For the Jews, Israel was the center of the world. Jerusalem was the center of Israel, and the temple was the center of Jerusalem. This was their promised land. This was where they were planted after they left Egypt. So to be Jewish was to live in that land, to go to that city, Jerusalem, and to worship at that temple. And they adopted the vineyard, and they installed this massive golden vine to reflect this. And it's not what they're called to do, I believe. Because Jesus comes along and says, I am the true vine. I am living the life that God calls you to live. I am the true vine. I am the Israel that God longs to see, and I produce the good fruit that God wants to see. Graft your life onto mine and let my love flow through you, and you too will be part of this. So now, to be part of Israel doesn't mean going to the Middle East. It's just being God's people in a relationship with Jesus. So friends, today might we praise Jesus as the true vine, the embodiment of what it is to be God's people. Might we give thanks for the life and the witness and the ministry of Christ and for the fruit that he produced so we ourselves can see what it is we're supposed to be doing. And might we allow our lives to be grafted onto his and to let his love and grace flow through us so we produce the good fruit. I suppose what I'm saying is, might we be known as Christ's because we love. Amen.